Let's sit down with RNIB's chief executive, Matt Stringer, for our weekly catch-up and look at some of the big stories coming from the charity. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Alan. No, my pleasure. As we were just been discussing, busy month in March, so good to be cracking through it.
It is a hectic month as well, and we have got three big topics to discuss today. We're going to start with the aptly named Big Travel Survey. This is encompassing a lot around independent travel. I know we had a survey looking for people to get in touch and talk about their travel positives and negatives as well, but this is a very broad-reaching piece of work.
We've got about 1,100 people, which is great, actually, really very high volume of people engaged, which I think shows the real interest and the critical nature of the topic. Travel and transport, you know, getting around, as we call it internally, is one of our key strategic pillars because, as we know, blind and partially sighted people don't find it easy to travel around the country at the moment. Railway infrastructure is sort of Victorian, it's inaccessible, comms media are visual, often notice boards and the like, safety issues on platforms. So, you know, there's a lot of anxiety, quite understandably, about traveling around. Bus depots aren't necessarily the most easy thing. People are concerned about urban architecture, moving around when floating bus stops and shared spaces in a way that potentially difficult for blind and partially sighted people to move around. So thank you. If you've taken part in the survey, if you haven't, the good news is we got 1,100 people who did, which is a big one for us, actually, to get that many people to respond. As I say, it really gives more weight to our views. And I think, you know, just to talk, Alan, about some of the maybe the activity that's ongoing in this area, because it's not as if we're just doing a whole lot of research and we're not actually doing anything practical. We've just been partnering, for example, with Motability, who've been funding us to now start on training all the staff who work on the railways up and down the country, so they are much more able to support blind and partially sighted people travelling on the railways, for example. And I know, you know, from my mother using assisted travel on the railway, for example, how vital it is to have people who really understand some of these issues and challenges and opportunities when supporting people with sight loss to travel safely on the railways. So that's a practical sign of some really good, hopefully deep-rooted work that we're doing to make a tangible difference. But the survey we've just run should give us a whole lot more insight just to show and that approach on travel and transport.
Another meaty topic is always welfare as well. We've been hearing about the government getting ready to publish a green paper on welfare reform, and lots of concerns around things like personal independence payment and access to work. And again, as a group that you're involved with, Matt, who have been looking at and will be looking at that very topic.
We sit within a disability charity consortium, which is about a dozen big charities that support a variety of disabilities, and we're quite a powerful group when it comes to influence within the Department of Work and Pensions, the DWP. So the next meeting of the CEO group is on Wednesday, and there's been a lot of work in the run into that meeting to engage in sort of real time with the landscape that's evolving. You mentioned a green paper. We've got views on that, and we need to see what's coming out of that and respond. We've been engaging with the work that they've commissioned around employment. So Charlie Mayfield, the ex-leader of John Lewis and Waitrose, who's running that, we've written to him, had a positive response. He wants to talk to us. The government's agenda about trying to get more people into work, drive the economy. I use the word real time there, and in some respects, and you know, events move very quickly at the moment. A sort of post-Trumpian presidency, we've seen overseas aid reduced to increase defence spending. We've only seen that further increases, you know, in that space made more likely by recent geopolitical events. Unclear what that means quite yet for national budgets, but there's only so much money to go around. There's going to be cuts and pressure put on places like welfare. So we need to be responding and up to speed on this stuff on a daily basis, actually. And we were just discussing this yesterday, actually, in a group, you know, in terms of our run into the meeting with the ministers next week, how we position our ability to help, actually, you know, because we could be critical of welfare cuts, but in some respects, we want to get blind and partially sighted people into work. We want to, you know, that's a positive thing for us to do. And if that can lead to maybe a reduced welfare bill, then all well and good. So it's a really interesting landscape at the moment. You know, we've only ever worked in a landscape where things move so quickly and are quite so febrile. But it throws up opportunity. And I think if you're the DWP, you're looking for people with answers. And the RNIB, and we're just writing a letter today into the ministers, actually, to highlight the fact that we could advise civil servants again on training them on access to work and being much more alert to the needs of individual claimants coming through that process, because at the moment it's very clunky. And I think 97% of people that get turned down who appeal win the appeal, which means it shouldn't have got turned down in the first place, but what a waste of time and money that is. And we can also show the successes we've had with a variety of employers. And we talked about Tesco's, and actually we do work with HMRC and DWP in terms of employment in getting people into work and showing how we can work with partners to do that and also, you know, help that side of the equation as well. So there's a very positive agenda for us here actually in terms of having some real assets and credentials which ministers are engaged with, and next Wednesday's meeting is just the next best chance to sort of push this home.
No doubt. Again, we'll be talking more on that as we see the green paper and some of the mooted changes as well. Let's finish off, Matt, with a look at fundraising. You know, we've got the London Marathon coming up. RNIB raises money in lots of different ways, whether it's through things like people's postcode lottery and so on. I know you've been at an event recently in London.
Yeah, and look, a big thank you to all the listeners who I'm sure many help us with fundraising. And, you know, it's massively appreciated. We couldn't do what we do without always the money we raise. Clearly, we have to put effort into raising money. It doesn't flow without that effort. There's a variety of things. You mentioned London Marathon coming up, which one of my team's running. I've signed up for the Great North Run in September. So there's a bit of self-help there, but we get money through legacies, which is great. And then we try on more sort of in-year, you know, as you know, individual giving and other fundraising activities. And, you know, one of the things we do is try and expand our partnerships with philanthropists and with donors and funds, corporate partners. And we had an event in London where our president, Dame Gail Ronson, and her husband, Gerald, who's very supportive of the RNIB, pulled together an event for us at a London hotel where we had about 60 people who are individuals who donate to charities, some of whom were very good, long-standing friends of the RNIB. And you know, pleasingly, we had some new people who we were engaging in a nice convivial environment to sort of explain what we do and get them connected to the RNIB. We had a great event, actually. We had a dinner. Hannah and I briefly spoke, Hannah Tyler, but I mean, the stars of the show were one of our ECLOs, Terry, and Kathy, who's one of the managers in the eye care liaison officers world, who spoke very movingly and very persuasively about the benefits that ECLOs bring in that immediate post-diagnosis setting, largely in hospitals, but not only. And they spoke very movingly, and Terry spoke about his own experience. And then we had, as entertainment, Denise and Stefan, who were the blind couple who got very far in Britain's Got Talent. They just missed out on getting into the final. Denise sings and Stefan plays the piano to accompany. And you know, it was a brilliant sort of showcase of their talents. But it was great for Terry and Kathy to be able to talk very movingly about, you know, eye care liaison officers and make the point about why fundraising for the RNIB is really necessary. So very successful evening on a number of levels. So really pleased and, you know, massively indebted to our president, Dame Gail Ronson, for hosting it and helping us pull it off.
Yep, Denise Lee is a fabulous singer, Matt. That's it. We're running out of time. Now, if you want to find out more about RNIB and those vital services which Matt has been talking about, loads of information on the website. Go to rnib.org.uk. You can also call our helpline on 0303 123 9999. And if you have an Amazon Echo device, you can ask Lady A to call the helpline as well. Matt, we'll catch up with you again next week, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, my pleasure, Alan. It's a busy March, but some good stuff going on and some important stuff going on. So good to be able to talk about it. Thanks for having me.